Good morning. My pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone here today, to be in God's house with God's people. Good to see you this morning. We're going to open our service this morning with Footsteps of Jesus, and then our welcome song will be We Have Come Into His House. So good to see everyone. If you could stand and join in with us, good to see you here this morning. Let's join in and sing together. Pleasure to welcome you. Let's greet each other as we sing. We have come into his house.
Have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Christ the Lord, worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name.
Be seated. As many of you know, our pastor had surgery this past week, so let's be in prayer for him and pray for Lynn as he brings our message this morning. If you want to update on John, just see Nancy after church and she can give you an up down, I'm sure. Let's remember John and pray for him and Nancy this morning. Several announcements in your bulletin there listed as Monday night we'll have our Candy and Treats community event. That will be from 6 to 7:30 here in the gymnasium. So we'll set up for that, and that'll be Monday night. And then also remember that coming up in November, we'll have two nights of evaluations for Upward. Upward signups are going on now. So we'll do that on November the 7th and November the 10th. So that's some upcoming announcements to be prepared for. And also this Wednesday night, Brother Tim Watson will be having our Wednesday night prayer Bible study. So remember Tim this week as well. It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service today. So I'd like to pray for us as we open our service this morning, and pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for those that attended our service this morning that are here in body. Thank you for those that listen in other ways, whether it be by radio or our social media. We thank you for the opportunities we have to broadcast and get the message out to those around us who could not be here today. We pray for those that have had surgeries and are not here today. We pray that you be close to them. Pray for those that have lost loved ones, Lord, comfort their hearts in the days ahead and currently. Lord, we ask that you lead, guide, and direct us, and forgive us where we failed you. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Next part of our service is two hymns that you'll know. Tell me the story of Jesus, and I will sing the wondrous story. So you join in with us this morning.
Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his word. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Passing alone in the desert, tell of the days that are was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was. sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Thank you. Great hymns about the wondrous story of Jesus and how he made a difference in our life. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we sing His Mercy Is More. His mercy is more than our sins. So we thank you for that love he has for us. So let's sing about this morning, His Mercy Is More.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. The Lord, His mercy we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was was the payment, his life was the cost. He stood beneath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
And thank you. You may be seated. We're so thankful for His love and mercy for us, and how that was extended at the cross. And is He worthy of this? Is He worthy of our blessings and honor and praise? He certainly is. So we're going to sing that this morning. You join in with us as we sing. Is He worthy? Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
And do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave.
Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves? And does our God intend to dwell again with us?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom and priests to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. God, we thank you for the verses in Revelation chapter 5 that no one was worthy to open the scroll, they didn't think. And then the Lamb of Judah came through and he is worthy to open the scroll. We thank you for that assurance and promise. God, we thank you for salvation that comes through no one else. No other name is given among men where people should be saved. And that is the powerful and holy name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Open our hearts as we receive your word this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
He is worthy. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house this morning as we come and worship him. I ask you to be in prayer for John as he has had his surgery. And as all of us men, we need to pray for his wife. Because I know how I am. And most men are. We cry a lot. So in that, it is good to be in God's house this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 21 this morning. John chapter 21 will be at verses 15 through 19 this morning. I want to bring a message this morning, kind of following off what John preached about last Sunday. We saw where he took had Peter denying Christ. And in that denial, we see where Peter goes in this scripture, and he is going to go back to what he knows to do because he feels like he's a failure. He feels like he has done wrong in the situation of denying Christ at his crucifixion. So we take up this story here in John chapter 21, and we have all messed up this morning. Listen to me. The Bible says we have all come short of the glories of God. We have all come to this place in our lives. It may be today, it may have been yesterday, it may be in the future, but all of us are going to come to this place where Peter's at that I'm going to preach about this morning. We need to come to a place to where we need to be reconciled with Jesus Christ. We need to come to that place in which we understand that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he has given his life for us. And in that, all he asks for us to do is to follow him, to love him, to be guided by him. And in that, church, when we mess up, when we fail, whatever we want to tag the word to it is, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is ready to reconcile with us. He is ready to forgive us of our sins and our failures, and he is ready for us to continue the walk that Christ has for us to do. As I said earlier, we've all messed up. Sometimes so bad that you could never get it straightened out in the physical sense. Or perhaps you did something so hurtful that you felt that you could never, ever be forgiven for the wrong. That's may have been the way that Peter felt. He felt terrible about when he denied Christ that day. It says in the scripture that Christ looked at him. He looked at him. It was not a judgmental look. It was a look of love, a look of understanding, a look of knowing that Peter one day, out of his boastful nature, out of his straightforwardness, that Jesus said to him in that look, he said, "I know exactly, Peter, what you're going through. I know exactly what you're dealing with." Church, today, this same scripture out of John 21, Jesus Christ knows what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the tugs and the pull. And let me tell you this morning, church. Satan is roaming to and fro looking for whom he may devour, who he may trip up, who he may catch in whatever he may catch them in to get them to step away from serving Jesus Christ. We turn to John 21 and verse 15 this morning. And in this scripture, we need to see where that Jesus Christ has come to Peter. Peter's went back to fishing because that's where Christ found him. And he is out fishing one night. They come out and several of the disciples have followed him. His brothers have followed him back to this place. They're fishing. Jesus Christ comes to them upon the shore. And as Jesus Christ comes to them, John recognizes who Jesus is. And in that, John and the whole fishing group go back to the shore. Now, before this, Jesus performs another miracle before them. They had been fishing all night. They come to this point. Jesus comes to the shore. And he says, "Hey, have y'all caught anything?" Jesus already knows they haven't. He says, "Throw and cast your nets to the other side." And when they did, they followed him for whatever the reason. They followed what he said. They throw the nets to the other side, and guess what? They had so many fish that it almost sank the boat. Isn't that a perfect picture of Jesus Christ and what he can do in your life? When you think you don't have anything else to catch, there's nothing else you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you've come to your rope's end, when you've come to that place where you think you have failed and you can never serve Jesus Christ ever again, Jesus says, "Cast your net to the other side." And he gives you abundance. He gives you that abundance of love. He gives you that abundance of need, that whatever he has called you to do, to be able to go and do those things. In verse number 15, we come to this place where he's going to ask Peter some questions. He's going to ask Peter some questions. Let's look at that real quick. So in John 21 and 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast," I'm going to bring you up to speed here in just a second, "Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend to my sheep." In verse number 17, he says to him the third time. Isn't that funny? Third time? The cock crows three times. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" It says Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is asking you questions this morning. He's asking you, do you love him? He's reaching out to your heart just as he did Peter's. He's saying, do you love me? You may have failed and you feel like you can't serve the Lord no more. You can't go to church. You can't show your face, whatever it is. Jesus is crying out to you, do you love me? I'm just asking, do you love me? Now, Jesus had prepared breakfast. Fishermen come in. Jesus is there. He has coals already ready, and it says that Jesus lays the fish out on to the fire. This coal is the same coals that when Peter had denied him, same type fire. Peter comes and sits with them, and all the disciples come and sits down with Jesus, and they eat breakfast. But Jesus wasn't done, even though breakfast was complete. There were some things that he needed to take care of. Now, Jesus had asked the disciples to stay in a certain place, waiting for him to return. Peter, being the one who just couldn't sit still, he was one of those people that had to be doing something constantly. He got tired of waiting, he went back to fishing. And in this, Jesus goes to him to find him. Why did he do that? Because Peter was already called by Jesus Christ to do great things. And he wanted to know, let Peter know that no matter what he had done, that if he would just confess, if he would just turn it over to Jesus Christ, that he would be restored. Church, today, that's what a lot of people in this world needs today, is just to be restored. Yes, they've been asked the question by Jesus, do you love me? And they say, yes, Lord, I love you, but they've just not given it back to him. They just not humbly went before him and said, Lord, you know that I love you, but I failed you. And Jesus is just waiting for that moment in time in your life and my life to say, humbly, come before him and say, Lord, I know I have messed up. I have done wrong. I have sinned against you and no one else. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. You know what, folks? With a humble heart, one that's broken, that comes before Jesus Christ, he says, I forgive you. He said that on the cross when he hung up on the cross and died for your sins and my sins. He died for your sins. My sins today. Your sins today. Your failures. The things you think you can never overcome. Jesus Christ, because of his love upon Calvary, gave his life so that your sins could be forgiven. Let us look at these questions just a second. He says in the first question, in the passage, I want to say something else too. There's the word love's used in here quite a bit, okay? We love everything, right? We love Chick-fil-A. We love McDonald's. We love this. We love that car. We love whatever. Love covers so much in our language. But the Greek language has it broken down, and this is exactly what Jesus was meaning when he asked these questions. He was asking them about, do you love me? Well, the two we're going to use today is phileo and also agape. Phileo is that friendly love. I'm fond of you. I like you as a friend. And that agape love is the highest love. It's a supreme. It's a sacrificial love. I'll lay down my life for you. It is the love that Jesus Christ gives to you and I today. In the first question, he says, he challenges Peter in his loyalty. Back to the night of the Last Supper, Peter was boasting how he was more committed to Jesus than all the others, for he would not fail them. And Jesus questioned, he asked him, he said, Simon, son of John or Jonas, do you love me more than these? I want you to listen to the word these. Do you love me more than these? He's not talking about the other disciples. He's talking about the physical things like the fishing. That's where Peter had come from. He said, do you love me more than the fishing? Do you love me more than the things that have occupied your life? Do you love me more than the golf clubs or the baseball or the cars or the whatever? He's asking Peter, do you love me more than these? And he says to Jesus, yes, Lord. I love you with a strong affirmation. He says, I love you. I love you. He says to the Lord, yes, I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. And he says what? Jesus says what to him next? He says, feed my lambs. Wait a minute. What? What? Peter says, I love you. Not the agape love, Not the love that he had said before. He said, I'll not let no harm come to you, Lord. I won't let anybody kill you. All the boasting, I'll live for you and I'll stand for you and I'll go to whatever depths to protect you. Peter's love of word of love was, I'm fond of you, Lord. I'm fond of you. It wasn't that boastful, prideful, look at, Lord, you know me. How could you ask me these things? How could you ask me if I love you? You know I love you, Lord. It wasn't like that. Peter could recall that not many days before he had denied Christ before him. He came with a humility to him. He came with a more humbled heart. Peter's humility came out in the answer. He had not been completely obedient with Jesus. And church, I can ask that to you today, if we were truly being honest with each other, that would be a question that we would answer. We haven't been totally committed to Jesus at times. He had not been committed as he had claimed. He had not been willing to risk his life as he had done before. He even cursed in his denial. Peter could not with good conscience claim that agape love, but he could claim that, yes, I am a friend of you, Jesus. Why is that? Because his heart was broken. So the third question comes up, or the second question, excuse me. Or excuse me, let me go back. Jesus says, go tend to my lambs, go feed my lambs, go feed those little ones. Jesus answered Peter in one restoration. He said, take care of the most vulnerable. Take care of the most vulnerable. Take care of the sheep of his sheep. Peter was to teach new believers about how to follow Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus told Peter. After he had told him he just loved him as a friend, Jesus reconditions, he commits to Peter, I want you to tend to the most vulnerable. Listen, church, that's exactly what Jesus Christ, when he calls you, maybe you're not where you need to be, he's still telling you to spread the gospel, to teach the little ones, to show others about Christ. The second question, Jesus' second question, is directed without any comparison. John, or Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Jesus asks again in the agape love. His love he uses, Jesus, is the agape love. Peter comes back again. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He again uses the word phileo. You're a friend. I'm fond of you. I know you're a good man. I like being around you. He uses that same word again. And in that, it appears that Jesus understood what Peter's saying, which he did. He understands the brokenheartedness again. Peter's humbled. He says, you know that I love you, Lord. But he just can't get up to that agape. He can't get back to where he was. That's how we feel today, right? Sometimes we feel like we just can't get back there where we were once with Jesus. Jesus responds by commanding Peter to fulfill an additional responsibility. He says, shepherd my sheep. Shepherding takes on the account of the total care of the flock, just like Brother John does for us. He takes care of the flock. He's the one that tends to the flock. The hurts, the pains, the joys, the pride, all of those things. You know, I was thinking the other night how much the spectrum of all things that a pastor tends to. He experiences the bad. Things go bad. He experiences the things that go good, and he goes all the way around to the worst. That's what a pastor experiences tending to the flock. And that's why it's so important that you pray for your pastor. It's so important that you lift him up, him and his family. He sacrifices time with his family so that he can tend to the flock. Third question. John 21 and 17. Jesus slightly but very significantly changes his third question. The third question. He says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? But this time, Jesus changes the word of love to phileo and not agape. He answers Peter with the, do you love me? With the same word that Peter's been giving him back with love. Peter, are you just fond with me? Are you just a friend? Are we just buddies? The text states that Peter was what? He was grieved. He was grieved over this. It was bad enough to ask him two similar questions, but this last time, how he even challenged him with the word phileo love that Peter claimed to have. And this time, Peter leaves off his affirmation of yes. Instead, he directly appeals to Jesus. He says, you know, Lord, you know all things. You know what he's saying? Lord, I humbly bow before you. You're the only one that can forgive me. You're the only one that can restore me. You see my heart. You know my heart. You know where I stand. I want to be that boastful person that I once was, but I know in my life to serve you, I must humble myself. Admit my sins. Know that I have come to you and asked for forgiveness and that you have forgiven my sins. He says, you know all things, Lord. Church today, let me say this. Jesus knows all things in your life. I don't care where you're at. What's going on? Bad, good, indifferent. He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. You'll say, well, why do I have to come to this point? Why did Peter have to come to this point? Why didn't Jesus just forgive him? Because, folks, let me tell you something. We've got to get the pride. We got to get the boasting. We got to get the super Christian out of our lives. That we think that we're better than someone else because someone else failed and that you'd never do that. Let me tell you something. Peter done the same thing in his life, and guess what? It happened to him. You know what's holding us back today? I'm going to say this because we live in a prideful time of the world. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, I'm better than so-and-so. I'd never do what they done. I'd never go down that path. Let me tell you something. I was told at a very early age never to say never. You know why we struggle today, church? Because we got too much pride. We need to be humble. Your worst enemy today, you should be showing them Jesus Christ and not how much better you are. Because Jesus said, again, I'm going to go back to this, we have all failed and come short of the glories of God. Every one of us. Let me close here. As I said, like Peter, we've all failed, church. We fail the Lord in our lives. There are those which things we should not have done. We want to keep hidden away. I'm not telling you to go out here and tell the world that your sins. But I am telling you, you need to go to Jesus Christ. The things that burden you down, the things that keep you from serving, the things that are getting in your way of doing what God's asking you to do. Peter was not going to go back and serve, I don't believe. I believe he was going right back to where he knew what he could do, and that was fishing. And Jesus met him right back there and said, Peter, I need you. I need you because I have told the disciples that you are that rock. And upon Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the gospel, he had told Peter, I want you to go and preach the word. I want you to be one that's bold enough to go out there and spread the gospel. Jesus said to Peter, I'm not finished with you. I want you to go back and look at all the people of the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, we look at David, we look at all the Old Testament leaders. We go to the New Testament. Paul, Saul, were they perfect? No. Paul even came to the question of, should I just go out and sin? He said, heaven forbid. Church today, let me ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Do you love Him with the agape love that He's asking from you? Knowing of what He has done for you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is He worthy, as the song said this morning? Is He worthy in your life to worship? Is He worthy in your life to seek and to find and to accept? Church, we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves. We need to remind ourselves every day to be humble. Even though what Satan can throw at you, whatever it may come in your life, to be humble. To be humble. To be humble no matter what. Peter was taught in this situation to humble himself so that he could serve Jesus Christ and he could serve others. Jesus goes on and he challenges us all. He says, verse 18, Jesus says, most surely I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He's talking about there's going to come a time in Peter's life. And he's talking about his older life where he gets put in prison. His crucifixion, which he was crucified upside down, as John mentioned last week. Church, let me ask you today, do you love Jesus? If Jesus came to you personally today and spoke to your heart and said, do you love me? Would you love Him as a good old buddy? Would you love Him as a friend that like your next door neighbor or the buddy you work with? Or would you love Him with the agape love that Jesus Christ has showed you? That supreme love, that sacrificial love. that love to do what Jesus has asked you to do for him? Because he gave his life on Calvary for you. The sin you could not pay, the sin price that you couldn't pay, no matter what, no matter how good you were, how great you lived, how humbled you lived by yourself, in that you never accept Jesus Christ, there is no way into heaven but through Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus is asking you that question. Is he worthy, church, Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Is he worthy of your praise today? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? That's a question only you can answer. Nobody else can answer that for you. Nobody else can answer for Peter but Peter. And nobody can answer for you other than you. Church today, do you love Jesus? Put yourself in Peter's shoes, and Jesus is standing there before you, and you're having a casual conversation, and Jesus says to you, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Where do you stand with that today? Where do you stand? What is your need in your life right now? Maybe you need to humble yourself and come before Jesus and don't harbor that sin no more that holds you back. And you just need to come before Jesus and say, "Lord, I need your saving grace. I need your saving grace." Jeff and Karen, would you come on? Listen, it's all in your hands now, because it was only in Peter's hands when he stood there before Jesus Christ. He couldn't turn to one of his brothers and say, "Hey, can you answer this for Jesus? Can you answer this question?" You want to know why? Because it wasn't directed at them. It was directed at Peter. I ask you today, church, is he worthy? Is he worthy? Do you love him? I'm going to tell you this morning. He loves you. He loved you so much that he stretched his arms out on Calvary's cross and he gave his life. And upon the third and appointed day, Jesus Christ arose from that grave alive and well. And today he sits on the right hand of the Father. And he's hearing your heart and he's hearing your cries and he's hearing what is needed in your life. Would you trust him today? Would you give it to him today? Don't waste another day letting Satan hold you down. This is not the day that Satan wins. Today Jesus Christ wins in your life. What do you say this morning? Let's bow our head. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you. We thank you for your agape love. It's not a friendly love, but it's an agape love. It's a love that is supreme and a love above all other loves. Lord God, I just ask you today that if there's anyone here today that just needs to come to you, whatever it may be, it's between you, Lord, and them. We'll pray with them. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, that hearts would be humbled and hearts would be changed. And not another day would Satan win today's day in somebody's life. He didn't win in Peter's life, Lord. I ask you today, Lord, may your Holy Spirit move upon us. May your word penetrate our heart. And Lord God, today may we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that's done, because you are worthy. You are worthy. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Let's stand, please. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood
shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as
close our service this morning. We're going to close with the course, People Need the Lord. As we go through each and every day of our life, we meet a lot of people, and those people need the Lord. So the question it asks is at the end of this song, when are we going to realize that people need the Lord? So pray as you go out this week that you meet those people that you can share your faith with, share the love of Christ with, as we've been challenged with this morning. So join in with us as we close our service with People Need the Lord.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need
Thank you. You're dismissed.